Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Vines Uniting Church, and a special welcome back to Malcolm, who will bring his message again today for us. My call to worship this morning is going to be taken from Psalm 96. I won't read the whole psalm, just the first six verses, which say, "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary." Please stand.
King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. King of kings and Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you and confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness. We also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to your world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. Let's sing.
To worship, here I am to bow down, here I am.
I think it's time we had a few notices. Give us a chance to sit down, relax for a few minutes. Next Sunday, we will be having a congregational meeting following the service. At that point, Colin will present us with the budget, and we will also be voting on three people for eldership. There will be Jackie, who has been nominated for 2 years, and David and Rob for 1 year each. So if you can prayerfully consider those during the week, so next week we know that it's what God wants for the church. Pantry 152. We have one more week before we head into December. And during December, the pantry would like to give out Christmas hampers. So food and other items that we have. If you have anything that you would like to donate, that's things like shortbread, Christmas puddings, gingerbread, those sort of things. Just leave them with the rest of the donations, and I'm sure Chris and a team will get together and sort them out and put them together. So when people come in on a Wednesday morning, we can give them the hamper that they wish, but give them a Christmas hamper as well, just to show them how much that we are thinking of them over the Christmas period. Okay, now for the news that I'm sure everybody has been waiting for. Who came yesterday and got soaked? In fact, at one stage I was walking between the door and the store where they sell the tickets with an umbrella, keeping people dry. And quite a few people were quite appreciative of that fact that they were kept dry while they were doing it. And that was, I thought it was really nice. So, now, I'm sure you're wondering how much we took. Okay, all funds, as we know, are going towards our pantry. And the first count has left us with a figure of $5,600. Now, obviously that is an initial count, and I spoke to Colin and expenses have been taken out of that figure at this point in time. So obviously it will increase because we've got, as you can see, stuff around the place that wasn't sold yesterday. Anything that you want after the service today, please go and have a look, purchase if you wish stuff. Anything that's left over, we'll work out what we're going to do with it after. Some of the stuff I think is going to go to the pantry, but other stuff we'll just work out what's happening. Colleen would like to say a very special thank you. She took over the sweet stall that was down here, and because Jackie couldn't do it, she did it at short notice, and she was absolutely flabbergasted by the amount of sweets that people prepared and gave. And she'd just like to do a special thank you in particular for all those who did prepare that. And I would like to also give a special thanks, one, to the organising committee for organising it, because it was a really good day. If the sun had been out, it would have been better, but the rain didn't keep people away, obviously. Lots of people came through. It was a really good day overall. So I'd like to say a special thank you to everybody who did something. The stalls out there in the cold and the wet and all that. So a special thank you. Malcolm would like to have a quick message.
Thanks, Adrian. I want to say a very, very heartfelt thanks to all of you, of this part of the Christian family, for the incredible love and prayer support that you've been giving as our daughter Lynn has been going through and still going through a pretty terrible time. I have been reminded again this morning that there is some confusion about what actually is Lynn's problem. Well, it's multiple. She came home from her trip, wonderful trip to Germany and Croatia with her brother and their family from Munich. And it seems like she'd picked up a bacteria which has created extreme pain and inflammation in the whole of the pelvic girdle, hips and so on. The pain is eased in her right hip, but it's still intense in the left. She was on a walking frame for several weeks. She was in hospital for a while, and I was able to take a certain dog in because I wear the right uniform. And I'll leave you to imagine a 43-kilo dog snuggled up to Lynn in her bed in hospital. The complicating factors in this are that Lynn has ongoing kidney disease, and she's had this for some years, and so the possibility of a transplant still hovers. She is on daily medication to keep her cancer in remission, and that conflicts with other medication that's going on. So Lynn's journey has been horrific, to put it mildly. I brought her home from hospital and we were walking up the stairs very slowly because they have a high set house, and Elton was at the top of the stairs crying as Lynn climbed the stairs. He's that sort of dog. And so your prayers and your love are really, really important to us. In a couple of weekends' time, we'll be up in Wentworth for our elder daughter's 60th birthday, and Lynn's daughter, Kerry, will be taking time off work to drive Lynn up so that she can be there for her sister's party as well. So Lynn has lost so much weight. She's lost muscle tone completely. Once she gets through all of this, and we don't know how long it'll be, she will have to go through rehab because her body is in such a state that she will have to, it'll be some time before she will be able to pass the physical test to go back on the ambulances. So we're looking well into January at the moment. Look, I've gone into a lot of detail, but I get a whole range of stories come back, and that's why I've done this. But your love, your prayers, your care, we're immeasurably grateful for it, and thank you so much.
One thing I did forget to mention, this Friday will be our last Friday Friends for the year. And I believe they're organising a Christmas-type theme, which wouldn't surprise me, considering it's 2 days before we go into Advent. So I'm glad Rob isn't here, because he'll be telling us all what we're doing, and the Christmas carols and stuff we'll be singing. So, but that's okay. So this Friday, here in the church, 10:30? 10 o'clock? 10:30, isn't it? 10 o'clock. So if you want to come along, last one, sing some Christmas carols, some other Christmas stuff going on, I assume. David, you'd like to have a...
Yo, my man.
Is anyone besides me kind of moving a little slower this morning? Can we pray for Malcolm and Judy and Lynn right now? I know we have been, but I thought it would be good to do that just now as well. Is that okay? Let's pray, shall we? Maybe a couple of you might like to come and lay hands on Malcolm as well. Come on, don't be shy. There's one. Anyone else? Good on you. Thank you. Father, it's a tough thing to journey in pain with our kids. Really tough. And so in this moment, Lord, we hold up to you Malcolm and Judy, and in particular Lynn, and pray, Lord, for healing, for restoration of her body, for renewed strength, for a return to work, for a return to do what she does really well. We pray, Lord, for her travel as she heads to the birthday celebration, but that will be part of her healing as well. And so we commit this lovely family to you, Lord, trusting in your goodness, your healing, your hope, your faith. Amen. Thank you. Now, the real reason for me being here, on Tuesday morning, Marge, Wendy and I, representing all of you on the joint nominating committee, as I think I mentioned, whenever it was I mentioned, it was it last week, we are meeting with a prospective ministry candidate for the Vines, and part of that meeting will be Simon, representing the Presbytery, and Kay, who represents the Synod. So our meeting is at 9:30 on, starts at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. I'm not sure how long it will take. Would you keep that in mind and be in prayer for the five, well, the six of us really, the five of us who really need to hear God's wisdom in this and exercise a certain measure of discernment, which from my perspective, I don't really know how to find, but I know that I trust that God will give us some clear indicators as we work through this process. So from 9:30 on Tuesday morning, it would be wonderful if you could pray for us then. But I'd like to commit that process to the Lord now as well. So if you'd join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to talk with someone who has expressed interest in ministering here at the Vines. Lord, it's a big thing for us to step into, to consider, and to discern, but we pray that you would guide us on Tuesday, the five of us and the person we're talking to. Help us to have clarity and certainty in that moment. And we commit that process to you, Lord Jesus, Abba Father, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And we share in another prayer as we come in our church prayers. Let's pray together. O Creator God, we bring our prayers to you today and always in the sure knowledge that you hear us. Day by day we are confronted by new experiences. Some of these are sharp, and we're reminded that we live in a sinful world. Sometimes they come in the joyous knowledge that this is your beautiful world, a world that has come from your hand, and we are meant to rejoice in it. Thank you, Lord. So we come this morning to thank you for your loving care for all people, and in the certainty that you call us to love each other. We thank you for the many signs around us of love in action, for the friendly touch from another, for the gracious smile, the kindly word, all of which in our own way we can return to others. We bless you for our church friends, for the opportunity to work together for the good of our community, the spread of the gospel, and especially the help of the needy. We thank you for the success of our fair yesterday, and we know that many of us are very tired, but happy for the work done. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We are very conscious that we live in a world community. Our media are full of sharp realities that take us beyond ourselves. Our faith calls us to pray for so many from different places. Inhumanity to others rears its ugly head. Wars persist in so many places. There are those who suffer from natural disasters. Fear rises as climate changes. Power is pursued rather than a service to others. We therefore pray for our elected leaders. We pray for wisdom for them, that policies may be pursued that have the wisdom of God. We think of the various levels of government that we share in this country, and the many areas of responsibilities that they have, and the difficulties in getting priorities right. And so we pray for people who are given such responsibility. So we thank you for the various agencies at work, whose work we see in so many ways. We pray for wisdom for them in health, law, local services, education, and so many others. We pray now for our local church, especially as it seeks a new minister. Please help our elected leaders as they work in so many ways, as they work to bring leadership to us here, as they work with denominational heads, as they work with local people fulfilling our local responsibilities. We pray for those who share leadership in this place. Please hear our prayers for those who are unwell in our congregation. And we've heard of Lynn, and we have already prayed for her, and we pray for others who need your care and special help at this time. And we would pray for those people who have to make important decisions at this time, life-changing perhaps for them. Please help them on the way. We pray all of these prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord, and we continue in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
We're going to go into the time of offering now. Remember that what God gives us, we give a little bit back. And another thing that God gives us is he gives us every day we can live. And for us to give just a little bit of that back to him, volunteering like yesterday, for example, was great. Let's just remember that we need to give everything we can to the Lord. And a song I'd like to do for that is I Surrender All. Please remain seated. I'll get you to stand for the last verse.
Trust.
gifts as an act of surrender, of giving all, of allowing our whole being to be given into the hands of Christ, King, Saviour and Servant. Lord, accept and bless our gifts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The reading today is from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
A teacher looked over the shoulder of a 6-year-old girl who was drawing in her book and said to her, "What are you drawing?" And she said, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." And she said, "They will soon." You are the King of the Jews. Who are today's kings? I looked up a current list of kings and dictators and rulers, and I remember visiting cattle stations in the Northern Territory that were owned by a very wealthy man who was then one of the wealthiest in the world, from Indonesia. And I'm shocked that most of these people who are the dictators, the leaders, the lords and whatevers of the world today have estates that run into hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars each. Hundreds of billions of dollars each. They are kings, dictators, despots, presidents, dukes. And I would have, in my more gracious moments, added duds, but I won't do that. What does a king look like, I wonder? Luke talks about a different kind of king. He's not dominant. Jesus is almost portrayed as a loser on an invisible throne. But because of that, he's the winner. He is the winner by virtue of his humanity, his simplicity, his hope, his compassion, his unrelenting love and service. What makes a good leader? I've made a bit of a list, but it's not exhaustive. And I'll give you my list, and you'll probably think, why didn't he say this or that? What makes a good leader? Well, within the Christian community, a good leader is a person of faith and who shows spiritual growth. They are a listener or humble and humble, not precious and possessive about their leadership, about themselves. One of the most noticeable leaders in the world at the moment reacts badly when he's challenged. And one of his reactions when he's challenged is, she's a nasty person. And he sends in the National Guard to settle things down. But he also has another catchphrase when belittling somebody who gets under his feathers. She's as dumb as a rock. Leaders are called to be consultative and cooperative, flexible, adaptable, perceptive, gracious when dealing with conflict. And we don't like that famous or infamous leader say, I hate my enemies. A leader, a good leader, forgives easily, apologises quickly, is slow to punish and send in the National Guard. A good leader is inclusive about nationalities, about personalities, about cultures, about religions. Just talk to those closest to you and share what you think or believe makes a good leader. Talk to each other. What makes a good leader? Christian's behind you. There's a danger in handing it over to you that you want to go on and shut me up, but we have to progress. Anyone like to share something fairly significant that you heard in those couple of minutes? Compassion. Humanity. Yes.
One who listens.
One who listens and who's prepared to change. Right? Ben, were you going to say something?
The last bit I missed.
Right. A servant and someone who puts Christ first. Anyone up in that corner of the arena?
Humility.
Oh, that was Ian, I think. And I was looking at someone else. Yes, humility. Someone up in this, over here, someone.
Empathy.
Right. Look, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Do you remember the consequences when Trump dismantled US aid and said we will no longer give aid to third world countries. It put the lives of over 20 million people at risk. And one of his henchmen was asked by a TV reporter, you may have seen this on television, but do you realise the damage that you're doing? And he said, giving all that money away does nothing for America. Isn't that sickening? Isn't that terribly, terribly awful? And in Matthew, we read, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. That's a bond slave. That's the word used in the scriptures in Greek. And a bond slave is someone whose life is at the disposal of their master. A bond slave lays down their life for their master and follows the example of Christ. Jesus said, love your enemies. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Talk to each other about the best leaders you have ever known. Who are the best leaders you've encountered in your lives? Other than Christ. I'll sneak that one out. Okay, we've encountered lots of leaders in our lives. Let's hear. Who are some of the best leaders you have encountered, experienced? Mandela. Nelson Mandela. I confess that he's one of my heroes. Queen Elizabeth.
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa.
Closer to home, Alan Cameron.
You know, Alan succeeded as a minister incredibly well, despite the fact that his first placing as a student with another minister was with me, and the second placing was with my sister. If Alan had any failings, blame us. Yes. Oh, I love the man. Love the man.
A guy named John Whitfield, who was my boss back in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And he was the fairest boss I had ever worked for in decision making, both affirmation and admonishment.
Yeah.
Very, very consistent, all the time, very fair.
Fair leader in every way. I remember after a conference in Sydney, a story has just been shoved into my brain. I was sitting at the airport waiting for 3 hours for a plane, as was an African pastor. And we got talking. And he told me this story. He said, when Nelson Mandela was elected, a group of pastors decided to go to his home, in his office, and to offer to pray with him and support him. And they got to the reception desk and explained why they were there, and the receptionist said, well, you can't see Mr. Mandela, you need an appointment, and that may be a week away or 2 weeks away. So the pastor said, well, we will stay here with you in the reception room until he's free. So the receptionist went in to Nelson Mandela and explained, we've got trouble on our hands. And Mandela came out to those pastors and said, come in. And he sat down with them, and they explained while they were there that they were committed with their congregations to pray for Nelson Mandela throughout his presidency. And over a period of 3 hours, they prayed together. Mandela shared some of his dreams and they shared some of their dreams. And as they left, Nelson Mandela said to them, my door is always open to you men. I suspect that I'm privileged to be one of few people who know that story. Because the man with whom I spoke for 3 hours in an airport was one of those pastors. Christ-likeness. Ben said, we need a leader who is like Christ, didn't you? Yeah. Christ-likeness. Whoever wishes to be first shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served, and give his life as a ransom for many. This week, I have a personal story, and one or two of you know it. This week I received a letter from Louise Miller Frost, who is the federal member for Boothby. And in that letter she said that I'd been nominated for a volunteer's award for my work at Flinders Hospital. And that there will be a celebration presentation ceremony on Monday week for those who have been nominated. I immediately sent an email back and said, thank you very much, but this isn't a one-man show. I work with an incredible dog who is essential to what I do, and some of the work that Elton does is profound. I want to take him to the ceremony too. And I got a very quick reply saying, I've checked with the venue and the answer is yes. You know, one of the things that people often say to me as a volunteer, it's good to see that you are giving back. And I always disagree. I say, I'm not giving back. I have been a servant of Christ and a servant of humanity all my life, and I continue to follow that call to servanthood. I'm not giving back. I'm giving. And that's what my faith and my humanity demands of me. We're all leaders. If I'd said before that statement, hands up those who are the leaders in the church, there would have been a smattering of elders and church councillors, etc. But you are all leaders. You are all called to be people in the image of Christ or the image of God. So if that little six-year-old girl came here and drew a picture of God, she would be busy. She'd have a whole bunch of pictures to draw. One of each one of us. Because we are the presence of God. We are the embodiment of Christ. We are called to be the presence of powerful, redeeming, transformative love. That's what we're here for. And if the person who is interested in coming here to be your minister says on Tuesday night, is asked the question, well, why do you want to come here? What are you going to say to him or her? What are you going to say? Come and join the team. We've got a bunch of great leaders. And we're not an arrogant bunch. We have been taught about servanthood. We have been taught about Christ-likeness. We believe the scripture which says Christ came not to be served, but to serve and give our lives completely for others. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, thank you for the wonderful servants who have gone before us and taught us servanthood. Thank you for the servants who surround us, teaching us servanthood. And thank you for the opportunities we have to be servants and to teach and share servanthood. We pray in Jesus' name.
Just before we go into our last hymn, there was one notice I did forget to mention. When you rolled up this morning, you probably noticed there was all the stuff was still out there. Because it was raining so hard, we couldn't pack it up in case of mold and that sort of stuff gathering. So we left it out to dry. If you have some spare time to assist in bringing that sort of stuff in, just folding up the things or bringing it all down, we would greatly appreciate it after the service, please. The sooner we can get it in, the sooner we can all go home. Let's all stand and sing our last song, At the Name of Jesus.
Strong as death.
Go out, let us sing. May the feet of God walk with you.